Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review. I am Ben Rylan, and today we're talking dystopia, detectives, and newsroom drama with arts and entertainment writer for The Telegraph, Alice Vincent, who joins me here in the studio for this week's television review. Welcome, Alice. Now, let's begin with the upcoming adaptation of Margaret Atwood's dystopian novel, The Handmaid's Tale, which is set to hit Hulu next spring. Alice, so far we've had one trailer that doesn't really tell us all that much. Are your hopes set relatively high?
My hopes are set high because of the acting talent involved, namely Elizabeth Moss, who, for people who don't recognise that name, she played Peggy brilliantly in Mad Men.
Absolutely. One of definitely the, probably sharing the lead with Don Draper really at times,
yeah,
wasn't she?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she was the kind of interesting female character who grew arguably more than Don Draper's character did.
Oh, absolutely.
Over seven seasons. And she's also done really well and won acclaim and awards for Top of the Lake as well, which is the Jane Campion New Zealand series.
Yes, she did an Australian accent. Ha ha, I won't comment on it.
Oh, it was one of the worst accents of all time, but her acting was very good. So, yeah.
Although, to be fair, she did have that weird, well, her character lived between Australia and New Zealand.
Okay.
So there are a few people that have funny accents when they travel between the two places.
I'll take your authority for it. but yeah, the other thing is that Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood is one of those kind of pivotal, entry-level, important feminist texts. And it is a very interesting story, and it's just fascinating to see Hulu, of all streaming services, adapting it.
Yeah, so I'm interested that we're talking about Hulu because even though they have been putting their own original content out there for some time now, we don't really talk about them very much, do we? I mean, no one does. Not just us, but no one.
Poor Hulu. They were like one of the first to get involved with this streaming malarkey as well. Arguably, they were on it maybe before Netflix, where Netflix existed, but they weren't doing original content.
Why are they so domestic, though? I mean, look, fine, I'd be happy to talk about them, but for so long, I've wanted to be able to use Hulu. I remember even before streaming was so commonplace, I would look it up and realize, oh, look, this thing that I want to watch is available on Hulu, except only in the US.
Exactly.
How useless.
I know. They even, it's incredibly difficult to get access to it. I also have found this in the past. And I dare say if they don't sort it out, there's going to be a lot of streaming going on of a different nature.
Exactly. But talking about this program in particular, The Handmaid's Tale, it's directed by the cinematographer, Reed Morano. So this is the woman behind the camera of Beyoncé's Lemonade films earlier this year. And also the films Frozen River and Meadowland. So we're talking about someone who's got some decent credentials here.
Yeah, and also I think what's brilliant is that she's a woman. And so we've got a woman directing a feminist text, which sounds really obvious and logical, but is actually very rare. And I just think it's going to be well done. I think it's going to pay tribute to Margaret Atwood, who actually writes a lot of quite screenplay-worthy books, and people try and do things with them and they often stumble. But, you know, Elizabeth Moss was talking about this the other day when some images emerged of the first stills and things, and she said, you know, we didn't expect it to be this relevant. And I think that's probably a testament to the direction and the fact that we are taking, you know, it's being taken in a relative contemporary way.
It's hard to, I mean, look, I don't want to say that Elizabeth Moss, because of what she did on Mad Men, she will bring that to this. Who knows if that will carry over. But looking at her work in Mad Men, her role as Peggy was very, I mean, you could read a lot of feminist subtext into the way her character developed there. And Elizabeth Moss seemed to wear that with quite a bit of pride. I mean, certainly not marching out there and presenting it as the main point of Mad Men's existence. Of course, it wasn't. But her portrayal of those sorts of themes was just subtle enough to make you really draw in and draw your own conclusions from it.
Exactly. It was featherlight. I think it, you know, you do, and we'll discuss this later in the show, but you do see a lot of programmes that are trying to be like, look at our agenda. Elizabeth Moss never did that. I think part of her portrayal of Peggy and why it was so successful is because she was thoroughly in love with that character and she really committed, and that's why she and Peggy became such this kind of inextricable pair. So it'd be good to see her in something else.
Oh, you're making me so nostalgic for Mad Men now. I just finished watching the whole series for the second time. I don't think it's time to go back for a third just yet. That's The Handmaid's Tale, set to air on Hulu in April 2017. Now moving over to more familiar territory, Netflix. Now, where this weekend a new show will hit the streaming service yet again, Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency stars Samuel Barnett and Elijah Wood as a detective and his assistant who investigate a mystery over the course of 8 episodes. Alice, what mystery are we talking about here?
What mystery aren't we talking about?
Oh.
This is one of Dirk Gently, and I'm just going to call it Dirk Gently because we've only got so much time. This is one of its this is one of its problems in that there's a lot of strings. There's some time travel in there. There's this kind of phantasmagorical element. There's this sort of silly dystopian thing going on. So there's a lot of things to be unravelled. But in short, it involves the surreal and the sci-fi and kind of, I'm going to make an allusion to Pretty Little Liars, which is not a show we talk about very often on here, but it's a bit like that in that the mystery almost becomes secondary to the characters and the jokes and the humour in it.
All right, so we've got a little bit of a clip. We'll come back and talk more about this after the clip.
My name is Dirk Gently. I'm a detective.
You don't look like a private detective.
Well, no private detective looks like a private detective. That's one of the first rules of private detection.
You're a detective who doesn't find clues. That sounds insane.
Bingo.
A missing girl, her murdered father.
It is strange of him.
Give me the dog. Our killer.
Give us the her, or we'll throw the dog off the bridge. I'm bluffing, but if he shoots her, throw the dog off the bridge.
So this is a funny detective series.
Yeah, so the original Dirk Gently was created by Douglas Adams, best known for Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And he, even in a book form, right, Dirk Gently was kind of, the success was the way in which it was told. So it was through Adams' narration and the kind of sense of humour. You know, he was famed for this sort of very British dry wit, and that's why the book succeeds. So it's a challenge to take it on for Netflix, and we've got, you know, they're trying to do this kind of eccentric British humour, and the character of Dirk is an either Marmite, is a real Marmite character. You'll have known, listen to that clip, whether you're going to find him intensely annoying or hugely entertaining. So this is what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with Netflix tries to do British humour with lots of plot strands and Elijah Wood.
So it was actually made by BBC America, which is interesting in itself, actually. And we were just referring to Top of the Lake with Elizabeth Moss earlier. And that was interesting because it was also one of those cross-ocean sort of conglomerates where everyone sort of gets together to make something that really crosses borders all over the place. But interestingly, the ABC in Australia had actually pulled out of funding that series because Elizabeth Moss had taken the lead and it was not from New Zealand or Australia. So looking at this here, we do have a fairly British setting that's taking place, presumably trying to appeal to a lot of American audiences. Is that sort of coy humour is going to get across over there?
Yeah, it's, you know what, I think it's going to succeed over there for people, for Americans who think they really like British humour. I'm not sure how many British people will be convinced by it. If I think about the kind of the British shows which work really well in the UK, things like Shooting Stars, Green Wing, Monty Python, and then what we've got here is a very, oh, look at me, I'm terribly British, pour a cup of tea on my head situation, which is sometimes quite funny, but I think it thinks it's funnier than it actually is.
It's always so funny to hear British people talk about British humour when in regards to American audiences. So this is probably trying to work for both audiences then.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Netflix have sort of toyed in this arena for a little while, haven't they? Where they've made a few other series trying to cross different borders, different audiences all over the place. Are they doing a good job of presenting themselves as basically a world streaming platform?
I think they are, but I think they do it with the ones they don't expect anything from. Making a Murder is a perfect example. Stranger Things. You know, those are actually really American shows which the entire world got involved with. I think it's when you try and present something as, you know, enjoy this, guys, it's made for you, people might not do it. But saying that, Elijah Wood is very good in it, and it's really nice to see him back on screen.
So that's Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. It's out on Netflix on December the 11th. I keep thinking about him pouring a cup of tea over his head now. So we've name-checked Netflix and Hulu, so let's round things off now with Amazon Prime. Oh, it's not a very attractive streaming platform, but it has some stuff on there. One of the latest shows is called Good Girls Revolt. Set amongst the social and cultural revolutions of the late 1960s, this show follows a group of young female researchers at an American newspaper who are fighting for equality in the newsroom. Let's hear a clip.
I don't want to just watch the news. I want to feel a part of it.
I'm a career girl!
Woo! Young lady, could you get me a cup of coffee?
Absolutely. Black two sugars?
Yes.
There's great changes sweeping this country. And it is so important that you're a part of it.
Nora Ephron.
Hi. Okay, you're not married yet, are you?
Don't worry about me. I'm living my dream too, just like you are.
I can't give up on this story yet.
But you're not a reporter. You're a researcher. And we had a date.
This totally sounds up my street. It's based on a true story as well. Tell us about some of the characters, though, that we're meeting here.
So the division is quite clear. It's the story, as you say, it's based on a novel called, well, not a novel, kind of memoir called Good Girls Revolt by Lynn Povich. And she worked at Newsweek for decades. She was part of the group of women who sued it for sexual discrimination. And essentially what you have is you have a lot of intelligent, very hardworking women who are doing a lot of research for stories. And they're called the girls by everyone. You know, you have a girl attached to you, they're researchers. And then you have kind of an army of suave, unrealistically suave for journalists, I'll add. journalists, they're reporters, and they essentially write all the stuff that the girls find out, take the byline and the credit, and probably about three times as much money home.
I don't know. Journalists can be suave on occasion. So this is, I mean, it probably is falling into the danger territory of comparisons to Mad Men simply because it's a period set drama that's taking on certain political issues that were relevant and remain relevant today. And sadly, it has already been discontinued by Amazon.
I know. That happened, what, 3 days ago? And it's almost life imitating art. There's become this kind of meta rebellion of like this group of women who created the show, wrote the show, Dana Calvo's that's director and executive producer, and taking on this one kind of purportedly contentious head honcho at Amazon who apparently wasn't on board from the start. So you've got one man who's killed off this show and now they're shopping it elsewhere. It's almost become its own drama.
Interesting, but it was actually quite popular, though. So up until 3 days ago, it was actually getting a lot of critical praise and so on. So,
more people watched it than watched Transparent, which is currently Amazon's kind of headline stellar.
That's
hit.
The one everyone talks about.
Exactly.
So presumably this will be snapped up by someone.
Here's hoping. Yeah, I think there are various studios who, if they're worth their salt, could come out looking pretty heroic if they did that. Yeah.
Do you think that some of the topics that it touches upon here, obviously feminism and sexual discrimination and so on, but also the fact that it is set within the media, that seems to be something that has not really been tackled a hell of a lot by much of the golden age of television that we've seen coming out over the past few years. It seems ripe for someone to make something out of it.
Yeah, I find, I mean, as a journalist who works in a newsroom in 2016, in the UK, it should be added, but like I find their portrayal of newsrooms like wildly entertaining, but mostly to sit there in the way. Same way I feel like doctors must sit and watch ER and be like, psh, that would never happen. But it is, it's an exciting, I think part of the reason why people do enjoy it is because it is exciting. It's fast paced. There is drama. There's a sense of kind of doing justice. And, you know, The Hour was another TV show which the BBC put out and was, again, phenomenally successful and had its third season cruelly culled. And people loved that as well. There's something, I guess, weirdly appealing about the media to people not in it.
I'm reminded, of course, of some of those scenes in The Newsroom, Aaron Sorkin's former television series, and those wonderful discussions they would have where they talk about how wonderful journalism is and how important it is and what a brilliant job they're all going to do, and we don't care about ratings, you know, the lovely world of journalism fiction.
It does seem to be something like that American newsrooms do. It happens even within about 10 minutes, Good Girls Revolt, when they're like, journalism, we're so important. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that in my career.
Unfortunately not. There's still time. The first season of Good Girls Revolt is available now on Amazon Prime. Sadly, of course, as we mentioned, it has been discontinued, but do stay tuned. It might be picked up at some point. Well, that brings us to the end of today's program. Thanks to my guest, Alice Vincent. You have been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Ben Rylan. The show was produced by Holly Fisher. Do join us again at the same time tomorrow for our books review. But for now, thanks for listening.